This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:35 a.m. BFM 89.9 with me, Khoo Soo Chong, and Philip C. And now onto oil prices. Now, ever since Russia, Phil, invaded Ukraine last week, crude and oil gas prices are surging, hitting levels not seen since 2014. Brent futures have jumped 8% to trade above $105 per barrel. Right now, trading at about $101 per barrel. West Texas futures have rallied by a similar margin to trade just a shade below $100. And bringing this closer to home, many would assume that rising oil prices would boost the government's revenue, but...
What about the petrol subsidies? As there is a fuel price cap for petrol, RON 95 and diesel. At the same time, fiscal space remains constrained by the record stimulus packages introduced over the last 2 years to mitigate COVID-19's impact on the economy. So the big question is, what is the impact of rising oil prices on Malaysia's economy and the state of government finances?
Okay, so to expand on this, we now turn to Julia Goh, the senior economist at UOB. Julia, good morning. Now, high oil prices are positive for oil-related government revenue, but there's also higher costs incurred from the fuel subsidy bill. Can you give us an indication of the sensitivity for every $1 rise in oil prices from, let's say, around $60 per barrel?
Higher oil is a double-edged sword for the country's fiscal position because higher oil revenues are offset by higher costs of fuel subsidies, with the price of RON 95 and diesel remaining capped since early March 2021. So on the sensitivities, we estimate that the government's fuel subsidies for both RON 95 and diesel could rise to 18.6 billion, close to 19 billion this year, if Brent oil prices average at $90 for the rest of 2022. Now, this amount of fuel subsidy could be even higher, as high as 24 billion, if Brent averages above $100, right? So in terms of the sensitivity per dollar, I guess if you assume that $60 is the neutral level, that the market price of fuel, or RON 95, is equal to the current ceiling price, right? That the a level which the government does not incur any subsidies, then you can translate it as every dollar above $60 is equivalent to maybe around 600 million of additional fuel subsidies. And this assumes petrol and diesel consumption of about 25 billion litres.
But Julia, wouldn't the additional oil revenue that the country is earning be able to offset the cost of subsidies though?
Yeah, so official estimates previously reported that every additional dollar of higher oil price, is equivalent to additional oil revenue of 300 million ringgit. So based on our estimates, it would not be enough to offset the higher fuel subsidy costs.
So what is UOB's house view, Julia, with regards to oil prices for this year? Has the war in the Ukraine been priced in?
Well, we now see Brent oil averaging at 110 in the first half and 100 in second half, largely lifted by the escalation in geopolitical risks that could affect energy supplies. But things remain fluid and there is significant uncertainty given the volatile situation in Ukraine. But we do see the premium for oil staying high at this juncture, given that global crude oil stocks is at a decade low. Demand is rising in tandem with economies reopening, and there are also ongoing energy transition goals, right? But on the flip side, I guess, you know, we have seen some predictions of oil prices at 120 or 125, right? But we think that anything above 100 will likely motivate, a deal to allow Iranian crude exports to flow again, or to restart US shale supply, or even OPEC ramping up production, and perhaps even countries releasing reserves from their strategic petroleum reserves, right? So overall, we see oil prices at 110 by middle of year and 100 in second half.
Should the situation in Ukraine continue to escalate, you know, how do you foresee this affecting the global economy?
Yeah, so with these kind of risk events, I guess it's always a question of the length of it. Past wars and military conflicts can go anything from a short period of a few weeks up to years, right? So it's very hard to predict. I mean, if this crisis, I would say, escalates and stretches beyond 2 to 3 months, that would see effects on the global economy. Although the Russian economy, they actually rank smaller compared to Western Europe counterparts. But I think the channels of effects would stem from supply chain disruptions, a sustained increase in commodity prices, and all that could spark higher inflation pressures, especially for the advanced countries who are already faced with multi-year high levels of inflation. And moving beyond that, I think the major central banks will be under pressure to still proceed to raise interest rates despite the potential effects on their economies.
Yeah, so Julia, to localise the issue, if the government decides to take out the fuel subsidies, leading to an increase in prices for petrol and diesel, what kind of impact can we expect to headline inflation?
So we estimated the direct impact of a 20 cent per litre increase in prices of RON 95 and diesel from March onwards. We estimated if that were to happen, right, would add about maybe 0.7 percentage points to the full year's headline inflation. That's the direct impact. But there are also indirect effects that are difficult to quantify because, as we know, since the start of this year, I think because as economies reopen, we're seeing that businesses, some have actually been passing on the costs to consumers. Let's say if there was an increase in fuel prices, right? You know, we're not sure if they will shoulder, they will absorb it, or whether they will actually continue to pass it on to consumers. And also, plus, given that they are also bearing higher electricity surcharges for the commercial and industrial users. Yeah, so that's actually the part where it'll be difficult to quantify and probably a wider area of concern about how it will affect cost of living and affect consumers' purchasing power.
So how should the government adjust the fuel subsidies, taking into account the rising oil prices, but at the same time having to balance the cost of living?
Definitely communication would be one thing. And if they do decide to rationalize subsidies, to manage the fuel subsidy bill, I think it would have to be done in small increments. I think that's the main thing, right? Back in 2013, the government reduced the fuel subsidy by 20 cents, right? And I think that was considered a manageable level, right? And that would not significantly hurt the consumers, right, and cause a sharp increase in inflation. And with a 20 cent subsidy reduction, we estimate that it could help the government to save about 4.2 billion ringgit for a period of 9 months from March to December this year. And this, of course, assumes oil prices averaging at $90. So there will be some savings. And I think as long as you balance out, right, the increments and the savings and not putting too much burden on the consumers, then that could be the way forward.
Yeah, Julie, do you see the war in the Ukraine having an impact specifically on the Malaysian economy? Have you had to revise your GDP and inflation forecast for 2022?
No, we have not revised our forecast. We're still keeping our 5.5% GDP outlook and also 3% inflation forecast for 2022. The situation is fluid. And as I said, it really depends how long this crisis extends for and how it actually reverberates to this part of the world, to Asia, that where we are living, right? I mean, I think aside from higher fuel subsidy costs, which is being borne by the government at the moment, I think there will be also impact on businesses from rising costs of commodities. It will affect costs of inputs and so forth, right? So that will, I think, yeah, if it extends too long, definitely businesses may start to feel some of that. But overall, I think for now, Malaysia is still seen to benefit being an exporter of commodities, and the economic reopening theme remains in play, right? Assuming that the Omicron wave will, it doesn't become too protracted. And thus far, we have not heard or read any reports of any direct or significant effects on Malaysia's supply chains due to the Ukraine-Russia crisis, right? So we are keeping watch on how things are, but for now, we are keeping our forecast unchanged.
Yeah, that was Julia Goh, senior economist at UOB, talking about oil impact on Malaysia's economy. Now, just in terms of the global geopolitical politics, Phil, we know that the swift financial sanctions don't affect energy transactions. That much is clear. We also know that the US shale producers are trying to turn on the spigots again and trying to get the whole mechanism up and running. OPEC might yet open its spigots, and although they were loath to do so until now, might continue to do so. If those things happen, then we don't see a huge spike in oil prices. But if they do, I think bear in mind that Malaysia's entering a period where GE15 is very much in the offing following Johor. If GE15 happens, Malaysia's political parties cannot, politically feasibly speaking, increase oil prices, because that's going to be very unpopular. And, as we know, Elections and polls are popularity contests.
Well, she brings up three very interesting numbers. An additional 20 cents will add 0.7% to the inflation directly, not even taking into account the indirect impact. So that's going to hit your wallet if that takes place, because actually high oil prices are not necessarily good for our public finances. Julia really encapsulated it quite nicely. For every $1 increase, 600 million additional in terms of cost, 300 subsidies required, 300 million in terms of additional revenue. So it is a net loss for the country.
Yeah, I think they'll throw the kitchen sink. They cannot, I don't know. I mean, this is just my personal opinion, right? But can they feasibly increase petrol prices? Not just in terms of the popularity side of things, but also in terms of the very fragile recovery in the economy, right? Once you increase that, everything goes up because it's just a broad-based inflationary increase. Be interesting to see how oil prices behave. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.